the Lady 80 Show podcast. We talk about books, everything about books, and have great interview with authors. Here's one now. Today I'm joined by somebody who I really revere. His name is Andy Bounds, and he's a best-selling author. But not only that, he is a generous author because he helps other people. His main job is motivating as a motivator speaker, and he is a wealth of information. So as part of Book Academy, we have his book called Top Dog, which he wrote with Richard Ruttle, and it's this book we are primarily talking about today. So welcome, Andy.
Hi there, lady.
Hi. So Top Dog, it says impress and influence everyone you meet. Now, obviously, you've made a big impression on me and influenced me with all the different motivational tips and things that you put out on a regular basis. But tell me how this book came about.
So it was a lot of Richard, my co-author, idea. He has owned dogs all his life, and he noticed how different dogs behave differently around different dogs and pack animals and alpha and all this sort of stuff. So I don't really care about dogs too much, but Richard really does. But we noticed some interesting analogies about dogs and people. So what often happens is when we speak to people who we're a bit scared of, so it's a bit like a small dog talking to a big dog, we can become a bit deferential with them. We come a bit like bow our head or like go to the back of the litter or whatever it might be. Now, we don't think we're doing it, but we do it subconsciously. And we say things like, you know, thank you for sparing the time to see me today. Or here are some slides that you haven't asked for. Or I'm sorry to trouble you, I won't be long. And the very first words out of our mouth are deferential. And what I found in as I've spoken to important people all over the world, is that important people, when they speak to others, they don't want to speak to people who are deferential. They want to speak to people who are valuable. Yeah. So I'd much rather someone came to me with, Andy, I've got something useful for you, than falling over themselves to thank me for their time all the time. So what this book does is it helps people become the top dog, the dominant person in the pack. So we stop saying thank you for your time and sorry to trouble you and start saying different things. And the idea is you read the book and you're much more able to come across as the peer of the person you're speaking with. And you lose that inhibition that you maybe didn't even know you had, such that you can, as you said, impress and influence.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Right, excellent. Now, I'm a very much a doggy person. When I first read this, it resonated on more than one level. But obviously, you don't have to be a dog lover or dog owner even to get the messages in the book. But it's a bit like that parent adult child comes to mind. You know, that's
absolutely.
You know, but it's not a psycho book. Now, is psycho the right word? Psychologist book?
I don't know. I mean, the other word that it is, also beginning with P, is practical. I'm a big believer that I want people to be able to read any page of any of my book and at the end, like, close the page and then just go and do it straight away. There are lots of books I've read which they're almost like a history lesson, really, and they're worthy in their own way and they can be very interesting, but I put them down and then I can't use anything. If I read a biography of someone's life, it's really good, but I'm wanting someone to say, and therefore my advice to you is this. So the P word, practical, Richard and I carried on talking about, yeah, but can people use this the next day? So for example, one thing we wanted to get across was don't be meek in your opening sentence. well, that's all very good and it's a nice point, but then you have to say, and here are some things you can say instead, and here's how you practice it to make sure you say them right, and if it doesn't go well, then this is what you can say instead. So, yeah, we deliberately wanted it to be instantly usable by anyone. That was the path we decided to take with it. So I'm pleased to hear that you don't think it's psycho, whatever the word is.
I know, but be careful with that one. Now, I know our Book Academy readers will be looking at this book and they will be picking out their favourite three things from it. Mm-hmm. What were your three favourite things when you were writing it?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll give you a helpful answer to start with and an unhelpful one. So I really enjoyed the focus on afters. So what we mean by afters is people don't really care what we do. They care why they're better off after it. So nobody, much as I think everybody loves me and loves my books, they don't. But after reading the book, they're better able to influence people. So nobody wants the thing. They want the afters of the thing. It's like we don't want a newspaper, but after the newspaper, we know the news. So you never want the thing, you want the afters. I don't want a lawyer. I just don't want to go to jail. So when we were talking about this, one way to help position yourself as a peer of someone else is don't think, but I'm a junior and they're a senior. Instead, you think the afters you can bring, you might be able to save that junior 6 hours a day. You might be able to help the senior be able to access new people. So always focus on the afters. That was one of them. The second one was very much about this idea of be valuable, not deferential. So just have a look at everything you're saying. Are you saying thank you for your time this morning? Because if so, why don't you change it to I enjoyed our meeting? Because our meeting is joint, but thank you for your time is deferential. And the third thing, which is not very helpful for anyone, but I personally really enjoyed co-authoring. Richard is a very, very clever man. Great guy. Love him. Wonderful company. And he came up with wonderful ideas. And quite often when you write a book, as I'm sure you and many of your colleagues would say, it can be quite draining, you know, because everything's coming out of your heart and your soul and your head onto this piece of paper. And often you don't get a lot back unless you proactively stimulate it to get stuff back. Whereas what I found with Richard is I'd write chapter, say, one, and he'd write, say, chapter two. And I'd look at chapter two and I was stimulated when I was writing. And that doesn't always happen. So selfishly, one of my favorite things was co-authoring because I learned so much at the same time.
And so is that quite different to your other books, like The Jelly Effect and The Snowball Effect? Equally great books that I'm sure people listening to this podcast will jump onto Amazon and buy. But, you know, those books you wrote yourself.
So that's right,
yeah. How do you compare?
I enjoy both of them. I mean, they're different things. I mean, like birthing a book is not vastly different than bringing up a child, really. You know, you put all your love and everything into it. I mean, I've got three books and I've got four children and I love all seven of them in different ways. And so it's very different, but I enjoyed co-authoring because I got all the stimulation from Richard and I enjoyed bouncing it. And there was someone who was jointly in it with me. So with all the other books, they've been collaborative as well. I've had lots of people who've been helping me with the editing and, you know, the typing of it and saying, I think that chapter lacks pace. You might want to do it again. So, you know, lots of people helping me, but actually have someone who woke up thinking about it like Richard did. That was quite nice. I enjoyed that. Going the other way, I did also enjoy being a solo author, and I love that. Is this an ego thing? I don't know, but I love knowing that I am a best-selling author. I love soaring. I love seeing one of my books with my name at the end of it at the top of Amazon. That was cool. So they're both fine. You know, you make either work.
Now, one of the things I absolutely love about you is that you are generous. You're generous with your time. You're generous with, you know, when another author approaches you, you will talk to them.
Yeah,
and, you know, when you get to a certain stage in life and things get busy, it's quite a lot to actually go, no, I used to remember what it was like when I first started, and to give that time. So we met through another book club, I think, originally. Mm-hmm. But then I was active and jumped onto LinkedIn and then you answered. And there's nothing like the biggest thrill in the world when somebody answers you in that way. Mm. So how many approaches do you get in say, a week or a month?
Well, I don't count them, but I would imagine, I sort of want to say 25 a week kind of thing. It's definitely quite a few most days. Might be a bit more than that, but by that, like people who've read one of the books or people who want a bit of a tip about that sort of thing. So, I mean, sometimes you get like a big company rings because they want you to speak at a conference. I'm ignoring that stuff. But actual requests for help and guidance and sometimes just a bit of a, can I have 5 minutes on the phone? Yeah, about 25 a week, I would guess, give or take.
All right, excellent. Now, you gave me a few tips about writing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being about the active brain. Yes. Would you like to expand on that for me?
Yes, of course. So I'm a big believer in this. Writing a book is really hard, I think. Even if you love it, it takes ages anyway. It's like if you love running and want to do a marathon. Go on, fill your boots, but you're still going to give 4 hours of your life to the thing. So even if you love it, it's hard. And so I want to be able to write at the time when it's easiest for me to be brilliant. So if you think about what you're like, lady, or anyone who's listening to this, what you're like, you have an A phase, a B phase, and a C phase. So I'm like many people I've met, I'm pretty good in the morning. So I'm A in the morning, then I have lunch and I go straight to C minus because I've just had my lunch. And then I sort of come up to a B in the afternoon. So I'm like A, early morning, A, mid-morning, C, straight after lunch, and B. So therefore, given that, my active brain time, my A phase, is in the morning. So that's a very long way of saying that when you're writing a book, you should absolutely do it in your A zone, not your C zone or your B zone. So I have heard some people say, well, I'll do a bit of work to start with, and then I'll do a bit of writing of the book after lunch. Well, that just is nuts, I think. Like, writing takes so much effort and love and discipline and creativity and innovation and all those things. You have to do it when your brain's at its best. So what I find works best for me is I'm better in the morning, and generally the earlier I go, the better I go. So what I was doing was I would often set my alarm clock at a time that most people think would be nuts, like 4 or 4:30 in the morning, maybe, and sometimes 5 and 5:30, if I was having a lie-in, and I would do like 2 or 3 hours then when my brain is at peak Andy. So my brain never works very well, but as good as it's ever going to be is at that time of the day. So I'd set my alarm, crack out work for a couple of hours then, because that's when my brain's at its best, and then I wouldn't do any other writing for the rest of the day, like none. If I had a good idea, I might just write a few notes down, knowing that I would write the idea better the next morning. And occasionally I get the gift of the muse and I can't stop writing, and then I do it whenever that happens. But that, I'm not one of those immortals who that happens to, really. So I'm the sort of person who's a bit of a plodder. My brain's at its best in the morning, so I'm going to write in the morning. And I would do more between 4 and 6 in the morning than I would between 6 and midnight in the evening.
Yeah. I'm that early bird as well, but I often write with my daughter, and she's the owl. She wakes up in the evenings, yeah. And when we co-author together, that can, you know, is quite interesting. You know, like, don't talk to me after 5 o'clock if you want any sense from me in the afternoon. And she's like, yeah, but you try and talk to me at 6, 7 in the morning, and I'm not interested.
Yeah, and it's really, and that is the thing, because she needs, like we all need, our active brain time as well. And it's, and if you're co-authoring, then there needs to be a compromise around that, of course. But there are plenty of people who are night owls. My sister-in-law, like, I think she's the cleverest person I've ever met. She's got a PhD in maths and came top in the country in something or other, designs roller coasters if she wants to, you know, just super, super brainy clever. And she's an absolute night owl. Most of her work is done between midnight and 4 in the morning. You know, and so, obviously, my advice for her will be, well, write your book between midnight and 4 in the morning then. You know, you just find your zone and get in that. But don't try and write it fitting it round other things. You've got to fit your life around it if you want the book to be pleasant and quick to write.
Good. Excellent. And you said for first-time authors, and I think it's also for those who have done a bit more, is never say, I think.
Yes. I was given this feedback from, I think it was... the first book, I'm sure it was, and I did my manuscript, sent it into Capstone, the publishers, and one of the pieces of feedback, which I'll be forever grateful for, was that sometimes I use the words I think. So I would start off by saying, I think there are 4 elements to a networking conversation, blah, 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 blah. And what she was saying was, when I read it, it feels like the author has some doubts. And I know you're probably being polite, and I know you're almost being like legally compliant, because somebody said, I think you'll find this 5. And you go, yes, yes, I didn't say there was. I was just saying, I think it's like when you read tabloid reporters, we understand Boris Johnson doing this and this. Anytime you see we understand means it's a total guess. Because it means that you can't like legally go, well, we just understood. We must have understood incorrectly. And what I found was, if it says, I think there are 4 steps to a networking conversation, it comes across as quite weak. And as this lady said to me, which is such good advice, nobody wants to hear you have doubts. You read a business book because you want certainty from the writer. So even if you have doubts, you can't transmit them. And so get rid of the words I think, and all of a sudden it now becomes there are four steps to a networking conversation, which is totally different than I think there are four steps. And so now the minute you get rid of I think, it's like there are four steps and you've only got to master all four, and then it becomes quite straightforward. I'll run through what the four are and then show you how to be good at each one. And so just getting rid of I think made the whole thing more pleasant for the reader, but actually it helped me become more dynamic as an author, because I was thinking people only want guidance. They don't want me hedging my bets.
Great. When I put my proofreading hat on for working with my authors, that is one of the words that or phrases I should look out for, as well as being the that police and a couple of other things that I'm the police on. So your favourite quote is, first, forget inspiration. Habit is more dependable. It will sustain you whether you are inspired or not, by Octavia Butler.
Yes. So what happened was an interviewer asked Miss Butler about writing and asked how she could be so prolific. I mean, how hard is it writing books? We all, even if it's wonderful, you have to put time in. Well, she would churn out book after book after book, and asked how come she managed to be so prolific and consistently prolific. And her answer was that quote you just said. First, forget inspiration. Habit's more dependable. It sustains you whether you're inspired or not. So if we break that down, first, forget inspiration. What the point she was basically making is, as an author, don't just wander around a field of daffodils and expect a book to come to you. Like, inspiration's fine, but on its own, it's not enough. And then she's saying, habit is more dependable because it sustains you whether you're inspired or not. In other words, like I said before, when I'm writing, I get in the habit of the alarm is on between 4 and 6 or whatever my time is, and that's my writing time. And I go down and I get a cup of coffee and I go to my desk and I shut the door and I put a sign on it and then I get the piece of paper and then I start writing and then I have a break at like 4:25 a.m. or whatever it might be. And she, but the point she's basically making is you've got to get in good habits. They sustain you whether you're inspired or not. So I don't have to be inspired to do that, and you because it's my habit. And you can see this in all walks of life. Let's say two people want to go for a jog because they feel they need to lose a bit of weight. One person is in the habit of jogging and the other person isn't. Well, the person who isn't has to really get the willpower to do it. And willpower takes energy like anything else. So if you don't get the inspiration, you don't get the willpower, you don't go for the jog. Whereas the person who's in the habit, they just do it without thinking. And so the reason I love that as a quote is we're told so often that inspiration is the thing to aim for. But inspiration, as a minimum, only starts you going. It doesn't keep you going. The thing that keeps you going are amazing habits that you do without thinking. If you want to be good at jogging for the rest of your life, you've got to get in the habit of jogging. There is no alternative to doing that. And that's why I love the quote so much, because it goes against what everyone tells you, that if you're inspired.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You should be fine. I don't agree.
I know we haven't got much time left, because I love this idea of going against the grain. And I think that very much is what Top Dog is about. And even in how you deal with business cards, it's like, just because everyone else does it in a certain way doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way. And what are the results? So I did enjoy that, one of those tips. So for the book club, if we've just finished with the favourite quote, so that is brilliant and excellent. So I just really thank you for your time. It's been great, and I look forward to their comments too.
Yeah, me too. Thanks a lot, lady. All the best, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lady AD Show podcast. Come back, subscribe, and we'll do this all over again. Bye-bye.